It is the top of the hour, so go ahead and get it started. Welcome to Office Hours, the half-hour segment where I answer your questions about NEOS. Please drop your questions in the Office Hours text chat, and I'll get to them in the order that they appear. If you don't know why you're here, or you're hearing a voice and you don't know why, it's because you clicked an announcement that appeared, and you've now joined the Office Hours meeting stage. Please stay. Ask questions about NEOS. I'll answer them in the order that they appear. We have a question. Ray! Lex asks, what do you think would be a good world permission setup and access level be for users who, for someone who wants to create something but doesn't mind visitors watching, but also gets distracted easily? I've been thinking about this a lot, I built a few things as well when I was trying to do it a while ago. Think about limiting stuff by both the permission system. So the permission system, by just setting them to spectator, they won't be able to spawn anything. Loads of people will literally lose their minds if they can't spawn stuff. That's more sort of function of them than you, though, because if you've ever played other VR platforms, you can't spawn stuff in those platforms. So just sit still and don't squirm about that one. The next level you can do is some form of like notification when they join the world, like, hey, I'm building, like, don't distract me. But I've also been experimenting with like red velvet ropes, if that makes sense. I didn't do it in that way. I think I did it with like just like a sphere or a cylinder mesh, where it's like, hey, don't cross this line, right? I made it so like they were still within earshot, they could still talk to me, but it's like don't get up in my space, yo. But more than like personal space, where you know they're like, you know, in your personal space, it's more like workshop space. Almost felt like a museum. That wasn't that effective, but it did prevent the amazing problem, which is people who like to enter this thing that you're building, go right inside it, their entire avatar, like put their butt square in your logics, and then go AFK or spawn a whisper bubble. They've just got like no concept of what's behind them, which means like that's like another good thing, like for everyone who's playing. Be aware of your surroundings. So as an example here, many of you, I hope, have some form of drink near you. It might be in a cup or a can or a bottle or whatever it is. You know where that is and you have knowledge about where that is. So you're not going to just like, you know, flail your arms around or whatever and knock it over. The same thing needs to happen in VR. Like if you're standing in an area, be aware of what's behind you, to the left of you, to the right of you. The amount of times I just get like unsolicited like butts in my face because people just aren't aware of their surroundings about where people are is just amazing. Like, you know, VR has this gigantic field of view. Use it. Situational and positional awareness of things. Don't knock over that cup. Don't go AFK inside someone's logics. I'll just kick you these days because, like, you clearly don't understand boundaries or anything like that if you're going to go AFK inside my logics. Beyond that, another thing I've considered doing, but I don't know if people would be up for or joining, is similar to the Prime Exhibition thing, is making it so spectators can't spawn their own avatar, and so spectators are muted. At that point, it sort of becomes stuffy, though, and it sort of turns into sort of like a performance piece, where it's like, welcome to the theater. Prime is at the center of the theater on stage playing the violin. You're expected to be quiet whilst this happens. So I don't really know if that actually works. I think I had to do that once because I was just like, you know, people just get it. Once people understand it, they get kind of like good at it. I've had lots of experience with people sort of have been watching me build stuff for a bit, and then other people come in, and the new people that come in kind of sort of get wrangled by the old people. It's like, hey, you know, come over here, Prime's building, we can chat over here, right? And they're over in the corner, like, enjoying memes and stuff and still engaging in conversation with me, but they're kind of sort of self-wrangling themselves into a corner. Honestly, though, I think one of the bigger things you can do is expose people to that being a problem. I notice that a lot of people hide in private worlds, which is absolutely fine, but if the reason that you're hiding in a private world is because you can't set boundaries with people that enter your world, then perhaps try setting boundaries in your open world, right? There is a problem in the furry community in general, where confrontation of any kind is avoided. And I actually want to change that. Like, I had an idea, I probably won't do it, particularly whilst this, you know, mess C announcements channel is in place, of doing like a NEOS debate club. Like, the reason why they do debate clubs at like high schools, etc., is to get people used to the idea that having differing opinions is okay, and having healthy discussions about those differing opinions is also okay. A good example I give to people is, your favorite color is not my favorite color, and that's fine. No one needs to be angry about it. No one needs to be upset about it. But it just seems like, particularly with the furry community, when there is any disagreement whatsoever, it turns into like a gigantic deal that can lead to sort of like, I'll cancel you on Twitter proportions over just like silly things. It's like, just like recognize that not everyone is out to be a vicious attacker at you. Some are, of course, but let them prove to you that that's what they're there to do. Don't assume that that's what they're there to do. I met this person in VRChat over the weekend, and they were saying something along the lines of, like, there were lots of Brazilian population were in the world, and he was actually, you know, trying to learn the language. We had another Brazilian who was translating for us. It was quite a good conversation. But this person who was learning it was sort of lamenting about, like, how it was easier for people to learn languages when they're younger. And, you know, I piped up and said, you know, you're absolutely right. Here's why, etc. And then I said, but you're doing a good job. Like, you know, because I could recognize that they were doing a good job. But for some reason, they took that as like a personal attack. I was like, yeah, it is going to be harder for you, but you are doing a good job. I was basically complimenting them on the fact that they were doing a good job. But they were like, arr, and I was like, hang on a minute. Like, I told you you were doing a good job and explained why it's harder. That's all I did. And it was okay if, like, that was the only time it happened, but like pretty much everything I said to them, they treated it as like an attack. And I'm just like, hey, just like chill out, please. So yeah, set boundaries. There's nothing wrong with saying like, hey, can you move backwards a bit? If they cancel you on Twitter over that, then they weren't worth speaking to in the first place. Moving onwards to Fance conversation, question even. Fance says, is there a method stroke app to clean the assets folder and see the dependencies and links in the hierarchy explicitly? I've tried to use the asset tool in Neos, but it deleted objects that I want to keep in my entire tavern, so I'm having trust issues with that tool. It depends how you're using it. I know of one user who will remain unnamed because it was a really unfortunate thing. They put their entire world inside the assets folder in this little hierarchy, and it deleted itself because that's what the asset folder is meant to do. So don't do that. I've seen one person that does that, so I presume other people might be accidentally doing that. And then the thing there is to understand what is going on there with that asset folder. By default, in the session settings page, you've got the cleanup unused assets checked on. That should always be checked on. There's no reason to have it not checked on. That will be cleaning up unused assets. Like, so you shouldn't need to do anything there. The problem that you might have, though, is where the Neos system thinks that assets are still being used and won't remove them from that folder. I honestly wouldn't worry about it, but if you are going to worry about it, make sure that you close the world and reopen it. Because just closing the world and reopening it will, like, clear out a lot. Like, for example, if someone comes into your world, spawns out a bunch of shit, like, it's gonna be in that assets folder for a while. But if you close the world and reopen it to continue working on it, that asset folder will be cleaned up. Additionally, remember things such as the pink trash can is the best thing for handling those assets. Beyond that, I'd have to take a look at exactly what you're doing in that world, because there might be some issues there. But provided the automatically cleanup checkbox is enabled, you shouldn't have to use that tool there. That tool should be entirely safe. It just you have to figure out what you're doing. Lex jumping around because Lex says, I know one reason to turn off that checkbox, multiple animations in a model, only the first one gets set up and it'll delete the rest since they're not referenced. You can prevent that by putting a component called an asset provider or asset loader. I think it's one of those. The asset provider or asset loader will keep the asset loaded in the world and prevent it from being chunked up. So try that. I don't remember if it's loader or provider though, so try both. You shouldn't usually need to do that. Because I don't know if it's like this in the hierarchy tree, but the like static mesh and animation-y doodads, like those sorts of components, they might inherit the behavior from the asset loader component. So don't like go adding them for everything. You only need to add it in the particular case where you're sort of swapping out the references to multiple animations. If you search for asset loader or asset provider in this Discord, I think you'll even find a lovely Fruks something about them. Whilst I wait for another question, I'm going to cut this loose thread out of my clothing. There we go. I got a vacuum. I'm going to do that immediately following this. I'm going to vacuum. Okay, we have another question. Does slot order affect the order in which a world is loaded? And if so, how strictly? I don't know, but I wouldn't want you doing it that way. I don't think it does. biggest thing you can do for world loading is make sure that you watch the very, very, very first tutorial I ever made and set your floor collider up correctly. So many people don't do that, or they put like a cylinder procedural mesh in the floor because they don't understand how the floor stuff works. So they're just like, well, if the world doesn't load, you'll land on the cylinder. And I'm like, or you could just make it so I hover in the air until the floor loads. And they're like, how? And I'm like, oh, it's only the first tutorial I ever, ever recorded. Vance says, I guess I made a mistake setting up the world. I have a lot in that folder, holders. I don't know what you mean by holders. Holders get spawned a lot when using Redex, but they shouldn't occur in normal world operations. So I really don't know what you're doing, but I think you're doing something wrong. You shouldn't have anything inside the asset folder that you've explicitly put there. If you have to go in there, you should question why you should go in there. Like, of course you can. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying, like, if you have to go in there, it means that you're into some pretty advanced stuff. Like regular, like world building shouldn't need anyone to go in that folder or take a look at it. Oh yeah, there is like holder dash assets in there. Yeah. Just like move everything outside of that folder that is stuff that you've added to the world yourself. You shouldn't be putting stuff in there. I'd love to sort of get some way to sort of separate it from the rest of the components and slots in the hierarchy so it's more clear, because now you've had two people that I know of that have made that mistake, but nothing you make should go in there. As for seeing the links, no, there's no way to see the links there, but like I said, you shouldn't need to go in there. Like, it should be automatically taken care of. The automatically clean up asset checkbox in the session settings should be doing everything for you, as should when you restart the world. It should flush out all the sort of guns, lasers, and avatars people spawn in. Don't go in there. If you're like hyper optimizing, which I know the Discord love, they're like, oh my god, let's like avoid logics because it's bad. It's not bad. Let's like monopack because that makes it better. It's really doesn't make it that much better. Let's like, you know, discuss the intricacies between value driver and value copy. And I'm like, oh my god, they're just like, I get it, but like relax a little bit. Like, there is such a thing as like too much optimization. The most complicated world I've ever done is my virtual surgical planning world. I haven't thought about optimization ever. It runs at 90 FPS when we're doing surgery in it. So, like, I have never thought about optimizing it. There's lots of stuff I could do, but it runs at 90 FPS when there's three surgeons in there discussing a surgery, so I don't really care. All right, let's take a look. Specs asks, why is it sometimes I can't use fly locomotion if I haven't walked or initialized the floor yet? Yeah, that's just like, fly locomotion is physical locomotion, so it's probably still waiting for the floor collider to be there. I've also experienced the thing where it, like, you have to walk on it once before you can fly. That might be a bug in the fly locomotion preset, but we'd have to look into that one. It might just be because like the physical locomotion was like just slightly gently hammered to make the fly locomotion, so maybe that's the problem. Shadow says, I'm curious just how some worlds have dedicated loading zones that always load first. Give me an example and we can go take a look at it. We can load into it and inspect a bunch of stuff. Simple things tend to load faster though. So like text and just like a standard material that just has a color on it, that doesn't need to load texture files. So sometimes that will just load faster just because it's simple. So that might be what they're doing. I'd have to see what they're doing. There is the possibility that there is some sort of like mod that allows you to sort of interface in that system or somehow, I don't know. There's nothing I can think of off the top of my head. I can like go look there now, but like, we'd run out of time quickly if I just went and did that. All right, Imerin has a question. Do you think it would be a good idea for in the future for Neos to officially make versions of user-created systems such as world cleanup systems or world culling systems? Yes. Something which has like always been part of Neos's philosophy is allowing you to customize everything whilst also providing sort of sane defaults. A good example being the avatar system. It's called the common avatar system because you can make other avatar systems. I've yet to see anyone that actually does this. Closest would be the Anyland folks, who do it in a good way, but I think it's wrong. I think Fruits intended you to do it slightly differently, but like, hey, it doesn't matter. There are ways to avoid using the common avatar system to make avatars that Frix has talked about before, but hasn't really explained. But the point is, we would probably provide some sort of automated system to do it in the future, but that would be sort of an optional system that maybe would enable on new worlds by default, just to give new users or new world creators a good thing. Maybe there'll be a panel or configuration dialog to turn it off if you want to use your own one. But we're never going to prevent the community from making their own, particularly if they think their own is better in some way for some feature. But yeah, it would be a good idea to have good sane defaults. I want a good sane default for culling, audio zones. I want to fix up that. It's wrong. I don't know what's wrong about it, but it's wrong right now. I shouldn't be able to hear someone from like miles away on the map. That doesn't make any sense. World cleanup is a difficult one. Because while, yeah, we could totally add that as a native system, that also is, again, a social thing. People need to be told and taught that that is a problem, that they are making a mess. Another good one is gestures. Like, I hate hand-based gestures with a passion, and you can't convince me elsewhere. I use my hands a lot when talking anyway, and so I don't have time for them to be in particular hand shapes to make me smile or whatever. That's just, it's not the way that it's meant to be done. The face tracker would be closer to the way it's meant to be done. But like, it's not meant to be hand driven. Like, there are some people that, for example, like if their hand is closed, their eyes are closed. I'm just like, what if you're holding something? Doesn't make any sense to me. But having said that, we may want to add a standard system for that that's really easy to use. I'm thinking, like, you know, select the gesture point, select the thing you want to do, done. I know that there are tons of community-made systems that do that, but they always have a point where you can see that they're not native. What was one actually in the MMC this year, and it was, like, almost perfect, but didn't work with my avatar for some reason, and also, you know, requires a lot of hacky stuff behind the scene to sort of find an open inspector. It's just like, it shouldn't be complicated. So again, making that system would be good. Again, of course, allowing for people to make their own. I'm happy, so I have to do thumbs up, or I'm not happy. Oh, I want to be sad, so I have to, like, you know, do the American Sign Language sign for, like, poo 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 poo, and then my, like, face turns into, like, a sad face. Like, it just, it... There's this TV show called The Magicians, which is a magic show, and, well, that makes it sound like, you know, pulling rabbits out of a hat. It's a show about magic. It's really good, but they have a very particular way of doing magic, which is incredibly hand-based, and I always think, whenever, like, I see people in VR chat, I'm like, yeah, that looks like exactly what you're doing with your hands just to make yourself smile. I'm just looking at the GIFs available for the show, because I don't want any spoilers, because there are so many, like, you know, some shows have, like, really big spoilers, like, you know, season 12 this person dies, season 13 this person, like, commits mass murder or whatever. Like, Magicians has got like 5 or so of that, like, level of spoiler per season, so, like, it's very difficult. Okay, yeah, here's the closest GIF. I don't even remember the context of this one, but, like, it's just, like, it's so over the top. And all he gets is a glowy bracelet, and I don't remember what the glowy bracelet does. Oh, no, I'd have to look at the timing, but Magicians is based on a book series that describes these hand movements quite well, as far as I remember. It's Doctor Strange is always weird, because they just summon, like, orange circles. That's all they do. And then that's what you don't, like, you see in the films, you see all of the sort of acolytes, I guess, they're all just, like, summoning orange circles. And then Doctor Strange and the other guy, the Asian guy, he, like, they're the only ones that get to do, like, what looks like anything that isn't an orange circle. Moving on to actual questions. It's a really good show, guys. You should watch it. If anyone does watch it, when you're done, there's, like, 5 seasons, so come back after 5 seasons. Let me know. You'll be glad. There's a musical episode per season as well, and it always makes sense. It doesn't feel forced. Anyway, back to questions. Aaron says, if you were to make a gesture system, how would you personally have the users interact with it? Would it be a component that drives blend shapes, or would it be a logic system? It would not be obvious to the user that they are doing anything technical, and that's the big challenge. If you think about things like, actually, here's a good example. An installer for an application on your computer. When you install an application on your computer, you're just going next, next, next on a wizard, right? Maybe you select which folder or hard drive it goes to or what parts of the software you want, but you're not doing anything really technical there. You're just making choices and then you're hitting next. You can install applications another way, which is downloading a zip, unzipping it, and then running the exe. That happens a lot with more open source based applications because they don't have the will or in some cases the money to make a standard installer application. And then that's, you know, more technical. And then you get the amazingly technical thing, which is trying to install NVIDIA drivers on Linux. Like right now, gesture systems without things that are made like the MMC one I mentioned, they feel like trying to install NVIDIA graphics card drivers on Linux. With the systems, they feel like, you know, downloading and extracting a zip archive. But what I want is just like the installation wizard, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, welcome to the avatar setup. What do you want to do? And they're like, oh, I want it to serve my like thumbs up. Like I do the like closed eyes and my eyes are smiley and my face is smiley. And like, you know, candy cane falls out my ears. Great. Cool. We'll set that up for you without any technicalities. I don't really know what that looks like. Blend shapes are totally easy. And the other thing is like with a Neos built one, we could handle the multiple blend shapes driving problem, which is like one of the like major like bottlenecks I see in people's brains when it comes to gestures. They can't make the sort of intuition about how to do that. Whereas we could just handle that, right? They would maybe select their gestures and then we would just behind the scenes, we would do it however we wanted to do it. Drive nodes, components, whatever you want. Shadow says, speaking of ease of use, do you think a GPT-4 powered Neos assistant could be possible in the future? Yeah, sure. I mean, it would probably be a plugin right now. And the reason is because you guys integrating it, perfectly fine. Us integrating it, we're going to have to pay OpenAI money. The other thing is like AI is growing exponentially, but I want to make sure that enough people understand what's actually happening, which is all GPT-4 does is it predicts the most likely next character in a response. And it looks really good, but like it does make errors. And I worry that like a lot of people are going like, it looks cool because it works 90% of the time, but like it's really bad in some cases. It's almost like, remember that thing at school where, you know, you were told you couldn't use Wikipedia for your research? It's like, oh, okay. Why? It's like, oh, because Wikipedia doesn't validate its sources. It does, and it did at the time that you're in school, but it's the equivalent of doing that, and Wikipedia does not validate its sources, right? It doesn't validate its sources because in some cases, it doesn't understand its sources, right? Its source is just, ah, oh, it's a 80% chance that an E occurs after this character. I will put an E there, even if it makes no sense. It just happens to make sense a lot of the time. I also don't know how it would handle continually to being updated. Right. So the problem is right now, I don't know V4s, I haven't looked into V4s enough, but I knew that V3 was up to sort of the end of 2021. So it's already 2 years out of date. We need to get to a point where we can feed new information into it. Like it needs, let's say there's a new update to Neos, it has a new component, a new logics node. We need to know about that. And so we'd probably need like sub-brains, I think is the term, where we're able to update its knowledge based on the Neos update notes, based on new documentation. Right now, that would require probably like additional training or retraining. I don't know how that would work. I thought Bing was a different model. Oh, well. It's something that like I probably should have got into if I wasn't in like Neos. Like, sometimes I'm just like, if Neos didn't exist, like would I have more or less money, fun, fame, happiness, excitement with my day? And I don't know at this point. You know, I was really into motorsports. I hate motorsport racing, but I was into the technical parts of it. I would never get on a motorcycle. You couldn't pay me $1 million to get on a motorcycle. But I was into the motorsport racing as a technical thing because that was my job and it was really fun. Then that died and I found Mixer and it was like, cool, I'm into video game streaming, I guess. And then it was like, yeah, but I'm on my own in my bedroom or living room. And it was like, cool, I'll put on this VR headset I bought. And it was VR chat, VR chat, VR chat. And it's like, oh, Neos is cool. Yeah, Prime doesn't even ride a scooter. I have one of those like electric scooters. I'm just terrified of it. I used to own a one wheel. If anyone knows the one wheel, yeah, you probably understand why I sold it. But those things are just scary. I used to be quite proficient at riding it, but I felt like I was going to die whilst riding it. So I sold that. Yeah, here we go. Here's a GIF of a man riding a one wheel. So it's self-balancing via like Sentra, whatchamacallit, force. You lean forward to go faster, lean back to go slower. If you push it too far by leaning forwards too much or going at too high a speed, it will adjust its velocity to tell you you're going too fast. By the result you get there is it will tip backwards. And that's saying, bro, slow down. And 90% of one-wheel users ignore that and they push even faster. And then it just cuts out because it can't keep you balanced anymore. And then you face plant onto the floor. And it's like the number one complaint with those things. But it's mentioned in the safety manual, but no one reads it. So, you know, there we go. I was riding it at, let's just say, like 1/4 of that speed. It has like modes in the app which you can set it on. They're all called like really like space age things, like Sequoia and stuff like that. But basically it's like baby, a little bit less of a baby, and I want to break my face. It's like the last mode. I don't remember what it's actually called, but it's pretty much that. Yeah, I sold it. I sold it for like pretty much the same I bought it from as well, which is amazing. And when I gave it to the person, I was like, you know, this will like kill you if you're not careful, right? And he's like, yeah, I've got one of the small ones. I think they're called pints. I just wanted to upgrade to the big one. And I went, okay, just don't kill yourself. And then he gave me the money and I kind of just left knowing he might accidentally heal himself on one. But there we go. I don't recommend them. The whole idea was to get that and then one wheel to the office and back. But then, you know, scary. Anyway, with that, we are at 1:30, so I'm going to go ahead and leave off here. If you have any additional questions, please put them in the questions and help channel, DM me or whatever you'd like. Oh, and one final note, make tickets. Like, if you have a moderation issue, make tickets. I got a few DMs this week, and it's just like, make a ticket. If it's moderation, make a ticket. I'm probably asleep or eating cheese. I will speak to you again later.